Good evening. It's great to be back to share some messages from the Midrash for Parshat Tetzaveh. This Parsha deals primarily with the clothing of the Kohanim, but the two things we're going to talk about come really before and after that core part of the Parsha. Parsha begins by talking about the menorah, and it ends by talking about the ketoret, the incense. Those are the two parts we're going to focus on. The Midrash Tanchuma actually spends a lot of time talking about the menorah. And some of these Midrashim deal with a question, which we'll see inside of the Midrash in a minute. But it's worth noting that a lot of these Midrashim ask this question, why does Hashem tell us to light the menorah? What's the point of the light, of us lighting a light in Hashem's Mikdash? Hashem doesn't need our light. So one answer, as in a later Midrash than the one we're going to discuss, suggests that it's the very act of doing this mitzvah that, in some ways, is unnecessary. Lighting the menorah in the Mikdash really does not add anything to Hashem. But the very act of doing that mitzvah is itself significant. The fact that you'll do such a mitzvah is worthwhile. You can see that theme in a lot of ta'amei ha-mitzvot. When you have chukim, when you have mitzvot that don't necessarily make sense. So at least they don't make sense to us. Maybe they make sense to, obviously they make sense to Hashem. But there's still an idea that we're serving Hashem through doing mitzvot, even if we don't understand it. But this is saying that even if the mitzvah itself, in some ways, is not entirely necessary, it's omen for Yemot HaMashiach. It gives us a schut for Yemot HaMashiach, Olam Haba. So that's one answer that's given. But let's look at the pasuk. V'atatetzaveh b'nei Yisrael. You shall further instruct the Israelites, v'kru elecha, and they shall bring for you shemen zayit zach, katit lama'or, clear oil of beaten olives for lighting, lahalo ner tamid, for kindling lamps regularly, continuously. We could discuss what that notion of tamid is. So the Midrash begins by saying, v'atatetzaveh b'nei Yisrael v'kru elecha, Amar Yisrael. Jewish people say, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Be'orcha nir ha'or, by your light shall we see light. The light comes from you. The light comes from you. Hashem is the origin of light from the beginning of creation. It's the very first thing we learn in the Torah that Hashem created was light. Not the sun, but the whole institution of light, not coming from any particular place, but the whole institution of light comes from Hashem at the very beginning of creation. So you're telling us to light lights. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Levaid Male Pnasa. So this is comparable to a home that is full of lights, of lanterns. The word panasa in modern Hebrew, you can hear that word panas, which means a flashlight. So Amar Bal Habayit Avdo, the owner says to his servant, Hadlik lanu betocha hechatzer nerot, light some candles for us in the courtyard. So Amar lo, kol habayit mala ora, the whole house has light. Vatomesh hadlik bo nerot, so what's the point of lighting candles in the courtyard? So Amar lo, hadlik bishvil ha'avadim shehu me'irin lahem, do it so that the servants will have light. Which demonstrates that there's some benefit for us. There's some benefit for us. Kachu omer el mul pnei hamanaraya iru shivataneot nerot. So the seven lamps shall give light in front of the candlesticks. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu lo shani tzarich laor basar vadam hizarti etchem al nerot. It's not because I need the light that I commanded this. Elo sheitedu machibatchem lefanai. I want you to know how much I adore you, how much affection I have for you, how much you're dear to me. So Moshe was not able to enter the tent of meeting because Hashem's glory was full throughout it. Yet, the Torah says that he should light. I said this only for your chibah, in order to show my affection. So, I want to understand a little bit this relationship between chibah, affection, and light. What does lighting lights do for in that regard? So, in general, we have the sense that light radiates positivity. If you look at the bracha we say every morning, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech, Hashem created both light and darkness. Osei Shalom Uvarei Et Hakol. He creates, he makes peace and created everything. And really, that's based on a pasuk that where it says, Osei Shalom Uvarei Et Hara, that Hashem creates badness. So if you make it parallel, so, or, and shalom seem to go together, or light and peace come together, and darkness and evil seem to go together. So you already get that sense from that pasuk, but there's this notion that light radiates positivity, it's happiness, the notion that somebody's smile can light up a room. Talk about somebody having a bright future. It's something that's positive. There's a notion for love. Think about this during the winter. We're just about a month away from daylight savings time. And you can see that during, there's something called seasonal affect disorder, where during the winter months, people feel a little bit, some people may feel a little bit down, but their entire mood changes. I can see this for myself. Like when you see the sun is suddenly out for an extra hour, and it goes on later and later. So that gives one a certain sense of positivity. But when you're in that state of positivity, so and it's not a far leap to say that there's an element of affection and love. We light candles on Shabbos for the purpose of Shalom Bayit, for the purpose of having peace in the home. So there's a very sort of technical purpose there on some level that you don't want people tripping around the house and spilling things on each other, so that would create a lot of strife. But the candles have the ability to radiate a lot of the positive, the love for Shabbos. There's a lot of association with love for Shabbos and the candles. And it's interesting that Rabbi Dr. Ari Sittner talks about how the notion of happiness in a relationship, and shalom bayit and the like. So a lot of that depends on the nonverbal. Okay, so you can have a conversation, you can hear what people are saying, you can even hear the tone, but it's often body language and the nonverbal cues that also season and pepper the conversation. So when those nonverbal cues are good and you can see them, so that has a very positive effect. So you need that light for that shalom bayit. You need that nonverbal communication also, hopefully in the positive way. That brings light. That helps the chibah between two spouses. On the other hand, dark can be used to describe negativity and even if somebody has a lack of meaningful relationships in their life, so that can lead one to have what we would call they could be in a dark place. But when somebody's in a good place, so there's a lot of happiness, there's a lot of brightness, right? And lahavdil, that makes sense in the sense of the candlelight dinner, right? Why do we light candles in a candlelight dinner? There's something about that radiates love and affection. And on the other hand, talking about these nonverbal cues, so when you have people who are communicating on social media in a sort of negative fashion, and once upon a time you could forget Twitter days, but you could go like on CNN or Fox, or you could go on any of these news sites, And you could comment on stories, and the kinds of comments that people write on them are, it's crazy what people are able to say. But that's the screen, I think it's called the screen disinhibition effect, that you don't see the person you're talking to, so it makes it easier to speak negatively. So the lack of seeing can be darkness, but the ability to see is that brightness. We come to the Beis HaMikdash to be seen by Hashem, and the light there would really seem to add to that. So that's the chibah, that's the purpose of the menorah, says this midrash, is to show Hashem's affection for us. So midrash goes on, v'chui lech amar lech HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, lo she'ani tzarich l'ner, ela v'chui elecha bishvilcha, that it should be for you. She'ataru aleheicha natan nechnas v'yotzei, so that you know how to get in and out. Right, this whole notion of it being for us is a very interesting thing, because they ask this question, what's the purpose of mitzvahs? Are mitzvot for us to enjoy, or do we just do them to serve Hashem? In some ways, the Midrash I mentioned at the very beginning sort of gives this notion that, that you do a mitzvah because Hashem commanded it, and the fact that it doesn't have any shayachut to Hashem doesn't matter. The fact that we're just doing that mitzvah because Hashem said so is good enough. You're sort of saying that there is an ability to benefit, to appreciate, to enjoy the mitzvah, right, to feel Hashem's love, and also has a sort of utilitarian purpose. That's an interesting thing to think about in this context. So what does this relate to? Mashalamah handavar domir. The pikeach v'suma shei mehalchim baderech. You have a blind person and somebody who's able to see. Shei mehalchim baderech. They're walking on a path. Hayabikeach somechet asuma. The person is able to see is supporting the blind person. Makes sense. The erev amar pikeach asuma. The person who's able to see says to the blind person, "Save I'd like lanu haner. Go out and light a light for us." Which is a very sort of strange request, assuming that the blind person can even see what they're doing with the fire and the like. Why can't the person who sees just do it himself? Up until this point, you've been able to guide me through my darkness. I feel that's me, Nero, and I don't even see myself. Tell merely had likely haner. So what, you need me to light the light? So be careful, that Kadosh Baruch Hu. The one who sees the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shekatev Bo, Nei Hashem, Heima Meshotato Bechol Ha'aretz. The Pasuk in Zechariah that describes Hashem's eyes are able to scan the whole earth. Hashem is the Bekeach, Hashem sees. Vasuma, Elu Yisrael, Shekatev Bahem. The blind person is the Jewish people, as it's written about them. Negashesha Kaivrim Kir, Ucha'eninayim Negashesha. That we grope for the wall like the blind, and they have no eyes as we grope. Kashan b'tzarem kaneshef bashmanim kametim. And we stumble at noonday as in the twilight, we are in dark places like the dead. So we are like the blind people, as this pasuk in Yeshayahu suggests. So, therefore, what's the purpose of the blind person lighting the lights? The Mefarshim and the Midrash explain that it's meant to give an opportunity to return the favor, that we shouldn't be totally on the receiving end, that we shouldn't be kfuya tova, that we shouldn't in any way be ingrates, and that we have to rely entirely on somebody and not be able to repay it. But we're able to return the favor. That's how some understand it, which is a very fascinating idea. Rav Chaim Levitz talks about in Sichos Moser, talks about how in some ways it's a chesed in and of itself that Hashem builds in the ability for us to repay, because we talk about, you know, feeling indebted to somebody, right? That we're in debt, right? That we owe them something. So not just in the credit card sense of things, but in the life sense of things. If somebody does us a favor and do us a big favor, we feel indebted. That feeling can bring a little bit of a sense of yeish. We can feel a little bit badly about that. We can feel unsettled having to repay debt. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to repay is itself a kindness. And just maybe that just keeps the cycle going, but the fact that we can repay Hashem, in this example, by lighting the menorah, is a beautiful idea. Rabbi Yoni Mosesen, if I pronounce that correctly, who has a Midrash blog, especially particularly on Tanchuma, So he talks about how what we see in the story is that Hashem doesn't provide the spotlight. Hashem doesn't do everything for us in this certain sense, but we have to generate that light in order to enter. In order to be in the Mishkan, we have to create that light. That's a metaphor just for spirituality in general, that you can come to the Mishkan and expect that by walking in, you're going to have a transformative religious experience. And yet, it's only going to be that if you're seeking it. That we have to create our own light for spirituality. We can't rely on Hashem to do that. And we could feel that way, certainly. You walk into a shul, even on Yom Kippur, so you can't expect to walk in and just assume that there are things in the environment, obviously, that can generate a sense of awe and that sort of desire to seek out spiritually. Certain things that can be done in that regard. But we can't just rely on Hashem to do that for us, but we have to be part of that. We as the Summa have to create that light. That's true about the whole institution of the Mishkan in general. Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. You should make for me a sanctuary and I will dwell among you. So Rabbeinu Bachya quotes a midrash that talks about how there's a relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a shepherd and we are the sheep. And Hashem says to us, well, normally the shepherd makes the pen for the flock to graze or to walk around in, to be protected in. We have to make our own pen. That's why we make the Mikdash. We have to make it for ourselves. And that's certainly something that's going on here, is that in lighting the lights, we have to create our own spirituality. So Midrash goes on to finish. So how is it that Hashem needs our light? Amar David, Hashem ori vishi mir ira. Hashem is my light and my salvation. So imatai amar David pasuk said. When did he say this pasuk? Igzud Amalek. Said this when he was fighting Amalek. Vishu asa imam milchama balayla vahar gam. So David was battling them at night and he killed them. Shnei mar vakim David mehan nefesh v'ad ha'erv l'machratam. David struck them from twilight until the evening. And really a couple of evenings. So where did they have light from to be waging war at night? Zikimu Vrakim. It was shooting stars and lightning, which of course comes from Hashem. Rabbi Elazar ben Pindat Omer. It talks about the war waged against the Egyptian when they were pursuing us. There was a cloud in the darkness, and yet he gave it light by there. That's talking about the as they're running away from the Egyptians, the pillar that was guiding them, and the pillar that was also separating them from the Egyptians. Amar Rabbi Oshaya, Shara Yisrael kach Amar Hashem Urivi Shimi Miira. So when Klal Yisrael were running away from Egypt, they said this line: Hashem is my light and my salvation. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Im Tadliku Lefanai Neirot. This juncture is okay. So Hashem has provided light for us. And what does he need our light for? Hashem's to Klal Yisrael, Im Tadliku Lefanai Neirot, if you will light the candles before me. So forget the salvation of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but in the future to come, I will light a big light for you. Hashem will be for you an everlasting light. And your God will be your glory. So this is the powerful light. Maybe this goes back to the concept, not so holding in Kabbalah, but the concept or Haganos, or just the light of creation, that sort of that bookend that the days of Mashiach, we will truly see the light that is from Hashem and the merit of our lighting the menorah. Okay. The last midrash I want to discuss is about the Ketoret, and this comes at the very end of Parshat Tetzaveh, really culminating the first set of instructions about what the plan is going to be to build the Mishkan and the clothes for the Kohanim, everything that goes along with it. So last thing is this altar for the burning of incense. In the beginning of chapter 30, it says, "V'asita mizbeach miktar ketzoret, atzei shitim ta'aseh oto." So make an altar for burning incense, make it of acacia wood. Then it gives dimensions and certain instructions. This is Viktir Alav Aron Kitor Tzamin Baboker Baboker Beitivo Tanei Roi Dak Tirana. So Aaron will burn the incense every morning when he is tending to the menorah. Valot Aaron Tanero Ben Harbaim, and then when he's lighting the lights in the evening, so then he'll do another ketoret. Valot Aaron Tanero Ben Harbaim Aktirani Ketoret Tamid Lifnei Hashem L'Dorot Echem. It will be a regular incense offering before Hashem throughout the ages. It's interesting to see this here, the parallel between the Korban Tamid of the morning and the afternoon. And in fact, in this budget, we talk about how Tuol maybe originate from the Korban Tamid. So Rabbi Huda says that you have until 10 and 3 quarters, Plaga Mincha, to say Mincha. So Tosfot asks, where does Plaga Mincha come from? What time is that based on? So they say that perhaps that's from the Ketoret. That was the time for the Ketoret. So this Ketoret was something that was a regular part of Avodas Hashem, a very interesting parallel between the animal offering and the incense offering, which is not as tangible, not as material in nature. So the Midrash begins by saying, Mahu Ketoret, what's Ketoret? So sometimes the Midrash will take a significant word and make it into an acronym, Rishei vote for certain concepts. So you have the Kuf of Ketoret is for Kedusha, Tet for Tahara, Resh for Rachamim, and Tuf for Tikva. Holiness, purity, compassion, and hope. So Kedusha and Tahara are similar ideas that represent perhaps the aspirations of the Mishkan when we are getting the most out of it. So I think Kedusha maybe ties a little bit into the space of the Mishkan, that you come to the space to have a separate place to be engaged in Avodas Hashem. That it's true that you can dive in anywhere, you can relate to Hashem anywhere, you can talk to Hashem anywhere, you can learn anywhere, and the like. But again, the whole purpose of having a Mishkan, a Mikdash, is to have a separate space that's really dedicated to that. That's what Kedusha is being separate. So Kedusha is sort of that aspect of the aspiration. On the other hand, Tahara is a little bit different. Tahara is about our bodily status, so to speak. And Tahara is not, the opposite of Tahara is Tumah. Tumah is not necessarily a terrible thing. It's natural. And yet, when a person's state of Tahara, they can achieve Kedusha. That when they're in a state where they're sort of separate from the natural parts of the world, where they haven't contracted impurity from the dead or from a particular discharge from period and the like. So that's separating from the natural world, and that's what you come to the Mishkan for. So you need Kedusha in order to achieve Tahara. That's the aspiration of the Mishkan. So the Resh stands for Rachamim, so we're going to give a good example of this in a moment, that Hashem's compassion is meant to be present in the Mishkan. And Tav for Tikva stands for future. That, and I think this is sort of a beautiful idea, that our dreams and aspirations are represented in the Mishkan, that when you come to serve Hashem, you offer a korban, so you're hoping for, you're davening for a bright future for your family, for the Jewish people, and the like. So, Midrash continues, Amat Rekov Amat Rechba, that gives the measurements, an amma tall, an amma wide, and an amma long, an amma wide, and an amma tall, and two ammas tall. So ma'isko shem lizbach haketoret. So what's the purpose of the altar of the ketoret? Kamei shasu oto ma'isin. When Klal Yisrael committed the sin of the golden calf, b'ikei shakadosh baruch hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy them. Amad Moshe b'kesh aleim rachamim. Moshe stood up and requested compassion for them. That's the ratio of the Ketoret is compassion. Mashana amar v'chal Moshe p'nei Hashem. That Moshe entreated in front of Hashem. V'nechbat b'karka. and he was sitting on the floor until actually Dratzah lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, until Kadosh Baruch Hu was appeased, was willing to accept his tefillah. Until Hashem changed his plans there. So Amar Moshe, Ribono Shel Olam, Rekvanit Ratzita. Moshe says, Hashem, so now I know that you've forgeven them, you've been appeased. Miodei Levi Olam Shatanit Ratzita Israel. So how are the Jewish people? How is anybody going to know that you've forgiven them? So Amar Lo Vasil Mikdash Veshachanti B'docham. Should make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. They should make sacrifices in it, and I will receive them. This doesn't necessarily tell us, actually, so much about the Torah per se, but one could say that we see in Parsha Korach the role that the Torah has in stopping Mangefah, stopping the plague. The beginning of Corona, people were talking about saying the Parsha Ketoret that received some extra attention in that regard. So that's a role of the Ketoret that it is meant to arouse Hashem's rachamim. So then the Midrash continues that the Keves Achat Taseh Boker, the Keves Hashinit Taseh Ben Harbaim. We have two offerings every day, two Korbanot Tamid. Every single day. So does Hashem eat and drink? So Pasuk says, Ha'ochal basar abirim v'dam atidim ashteh. So here's food and drink. Eat the flesh and limbs and drink from the blood of daily offerings. Even if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine. And all the animals of the forest are mine. Hashem doesn't need our food. Hashem doesn't need to eat. I only want the aroma. Aroma has an important role. Eating and drinking gives us the first sense of whether or not we want to, if we want to eat or drink something. Or if I smell particular foods that I don't like, or I hate the aroma of coffee. So that's no good for me. So the food aspect of it is really a means for the reach nichovach. The altar for the korban ola, animal offering. That's hayanatumachutz. That's outside. But the altar for the incense, which is for Hashem to smell, to scent. Not tun bifnim, that's inside. That's more internal. So that's why Hashem says to Moshe, place the altar to burn incense inside. I think this gets to a beautiful idea that there's kapara for the bodily manners, for bodily matters, for inyanei haguf, for actions we perform, for things that we do with our body, whether it's the way we eat, the drink, the way we pursue our pleasures. So there's kapara, there's atonement for that. There's also a notion of kapara for inyanei hanashama, that there's also atonement for things related to our spirituality, right? Which is why we have a separate way of creating an offering that's not related to an animal. This is appropriate. This is important because, again, one of the things represented by the Ketoret is the notion of Kedusha. And Kedusha talks about Kedoshim Tiyu. So Rashi says that they're talking about separating from improper relationships. So that's an Inyan Guf. That's something related to our body. Ramban says, Kadeshit Atzmecha B'Mutar Lach. Ramban says that we're supposed to sanctify ourselves in that which is permitted to you. Which is not really about whether things are permitted or forbidden. You lose the realm of mitzvah and avera in that sense. But it's about going above and beyond in the spirituality. And that can only be the Torah, that the reach, the incense smell, which is something that's there, but it's not tangible. It's not something you can see. It's not something you can touch. It's not something you can feel. So that's a lot of what Kedusha is about. It's not about the things that are so tangible. It's not about the things that are so black and white and obvious in a certain sense, but it's much deeper. It's interesting that we smell spices when we end Shabbat. The Samim is meant to provide something for the neshama because of the absence of the neshama yatera. When we're losing that extra soul, the thing that gives us the extra spirituality of Shabbat that transcends the week, so we need smell in order for that. That's the role of Reach Nichoach in the Ketoret, is to provide that extra aspect of what we may call in Hasidic terminology pnimius, the internal aspects of our avodah. Right? We talk about that when something smells like something. So it's not something that it's usually something that we don't necessarily, you know, we don't have proof in. It's not in ink. It's not so clear. But it still gives you a scent, and it has a very big impact. And Tzivos Shalom says that this is why some of these ideas are from the Tzivos Shalom. You should see what he says about the Ketores. But Tzivos Shalom says that this is an answer to the famous question of why does the Ketores come last? And all the things of the Mishkan, and if anything, maybe should have appeared in Parshat Truma, not Tzitzaveh. Why is Ketores last? It's because that it's about the pnimius. It's about what's inside, and that's what the Midrash is saying. That the Nizbach Ketoret is inside. It's inside the tent. It's not out there in public because it's meant to represent something that's more private, something that's holier, something that's more spiritual, something in that sense that it's not just about sort of the you can be formalistically living up to certain standards, and you can't be missing something spiritually in the process, right? If you dive and you say the words, so you've said the words, but you haven't necessarily accomplished anything spiritually. You can observe Shabbos by not doing the lamatatz malachos, but you haven't necessarily experienced the holiness of Shabbos. So that's the importance of the Torah aspect of the Mizbach Torah, that in order to have that smell, that scent of spirituality, so that's something that's internal, that's something that we also have to seek. Have a great week.